Blog Talk Radio.
Time for Sports Card Live. With Sports Card Radio's Ryan Tedders, Colin Tedders, MojoBreak.com's Dan Anderson, and your host, Doug Caskey. Dig it.
Pack Rippers and Sports Nuts, welcome to another episode of Sports Card Live. Doug Fresh, I'm joined with Ryan and Dan. What's up, guys?
What up?
Wow, man, the smell of fresh-cut grass. Baseball is here, opening day, man. I'm waiting for this for a while, since last October. What do you guys think about the first crop of baseball games?
I'm pretty stoked. I think... obviously, I'm a Giants fan, but I think Clayton Kershaw might be the best baseball player ever. Guy just did everything, didn't he? Guy,
yeah.
What, complete game shutout, home run. Surprised didn't have a couple stolen bases, and yeah, that guy was ridiculous, man.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. But, you ever watch that old Bugs Bunny cartoon where it's Bugs Bunny and he plays all the positions? That's Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, I hate to say this. I mean, when that guy's on, he is the best pitcher in the league.
Yeah.
And I mean, it seems like every time the Giants go against him, I've never seen him have a bad outing. That guy just kills the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, he's good, man.
In San Francisco or in L.A., man, that guy is just dominant. That guy is going to get paid, man. When he's a free agent, probably looking at that guy is going to get like $200 million probably.
Yeah, he's got a few Cy Youngs in his future, definitely. I mean, it pains me to say as a Giants fan, too, because obviously we have that deep-rooted hatred for Dodgers, the rivalry, all that other good stuff. But, yeah, he's a beast. Well, on this, just to give you guys an overview of this episode, we're going to talk some playbook. It's right around the corner. We're going to talk Topps Gypsy Queen, which is coming out tomorrow, Panini Select. I'm going to share a good customer service experience from Topps, which, you know, I want to – We've been talking a lot of bad stuff about bad experiences, but I've got a good one to share. We're going to talk Taco Bell, too. So I know you guys are hungry. Right around dinner time, we're going to talk Taco Bell.
I love Taco Bell.
So just wait for that. Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Delicious.
Second, third, fourth, and fifth meal for me. But, you know, that's besides the point. But did you catch any games yesterday, Ryan?
I watched the Giants. I watched a little of the A's. Yeah, I've got minor league baseball in my mind, so that I'm actually going to take off in about an hour. So that's how much I care about minor league baseball. I'm skipping out of my obligations for the podcast. So that's really all I can think about. I'm like a kid on Christmas Eve and shit. I just can't wait, you know, until 5:30. So.
Well, we got Tom Metz from Card Shop Finder to fill in the last minute addition, so it works out good. Ryan can go see the ports. We can talk some Card Shop Finder. Who's pitching tonight for the Ports?
It's an exhibition game with the River Cats, so it's like a reunion. Michael Choice is coming back to town, Jamal Weeks, Michael
nice.
Taylor, and Addison Russell, who's the A's number one prospect. He's going to be in town for tonight, so first look at him. So that's exciting.
Nice.
For me, that's very exciting.
Nice. I wish I could make it down there. Maybe you can hit up some tweets. Let me know what's going down. I'll pay attention.
I do videos on. I have a YouTube account, Prospect Notes, on YouTube, and I post like I'll have Addison Russell like pretty much like every single at bat that he has. I'll pretty much post it on YouTube. So
yeah, nice. Yeah, I actually don't have any rookie autos of him, but he's lighting it up on eBay. It's his prices and. He's got a nice looking auto too. I must say his auto is clean. Like the guy actually went to autograph school if they had one. Like he should be a poster child of prospects to how to sign their autograph because it's beautiful. So, but
stuff,
I'm gonna try to.
His stuff is on fire. I was checking out my cards and that. I mean, his stuff is. I mean, for the like base Chrome autos are going for a decent amount.
Yeah, nice. Definitely.
Like,
yeah,
guy,
I know he's. I know he's
gonna be the real deal.
Yeah, he's a redemption in Sterling. Yeah, he's got a lot. He's got some Leaf stuff, but he'll be in a lot. He'll probably be in Bowman Inception coming up, so he's gonna be in a lot of products. But he's got a lot of potential. So I can't wait to see him in San Jose. I'm gonna catch a few San Jose Stockton games and check out some Addison Russell. Maybe I can be like a 12-year-old and get him to sign one of my base cards. I'll be like a 30-year-old man hunting down autographs.
I'm sure I'll end up with a few of autographs of his over the next few months. So I can send you something for sure.
Nice.
I'm sure I'll have the opportunity to get his autograph more than one on one occasion, I'm sure. So
nice. And not that we're homers over here, but I wanted to say the big draw to San Jose this year is Kyle Crick. So he's one of the number one prospects for the Giants. So you'll be seeing him floating through Stockton as well.
I think he's going to pitch on Thursday here. I'm pretty sure he's going to open up. But they play the Giants on Thursday through Sunday. So actually, yeah, I'm pretty excited to see him too. I saw Archie Bradley's on the Visalia Rawhide roster, which is a California League team. So I'm going to go see as many Archie Bradley starts in either Modesto or Stockton when they come through. Archie Bradley was the sixth pick in the draft. Probably would be a big-time quarterback right now at Oklahoma if he didn't get picked it, or if he didn't get $5 million from the Diamondbacks. So excited to see him. I was trying to see a few of the other big prospects that are coming through. I didn't have enough time to research, but Corey Seager is a Dodger. He's the number three prospect on the Dodgers. He's on the Rancho Cucamonga team. So I should be able to get to see some decent players this year.
Yeah, I think Bradley and Bundy went to the same college, right? But that was like, man, I didn't catch any of those college games, but that must have been a fierce twosome right there. I mean, geez, you can only imagine.
Yeah. Crazy.
But, you know, there's some early people. Obviously, Bryce Harper had a big game yesterday with the two solo home runs. Rumblings on the former MVP, and I think there was actually an MVP chant at the game yesterday. I think it's good for this hobby that, you know, Bryce is coming around. Not that he had a bad season last year. I think he hit 260. Being 19 is pretty phenomenal. But came out yesterday. Strasburg had a good game. I think the Nats are going to be a team to be reckoned with, man. Just those two guys, let alone, you know, Wirth and Espinoza and guys that got on their team as well. Gio Gonzalez. I mean, they made the playoffs last year. They might go even a little deeper this year.
Well, you're looking at a full Strasburg. I mean, he's going to be playing all season, so they're not going to shut him down. So, you know, get him in the playoffs. You never know what could happen. So, I don't know, man. They're pretty much my pick. I mean, I think they're everybody's pick to win their division, but we'll see how they go. They're a relatively young team with like Ian Desmond. He's young. I mean, one of the guys, they have Jason Wirth, who's, I mean, he's an older guy, but that guy's got some pop as well. He's a proven middle of the order type guy, and they got some pieces for sure. They got some hitting, got some pitching, so they're my pick to win that division for sure.
Yeah, I was trying to get some tickets to when they come in town for the Giants, but it was like weekday games. It was kind of hard to see, but I did actually get some tickets to see the Giants and the Orioles, and I'm excited to see the Orioles play with Machado and, you know, Adam Jones, Markakis, maybe Bundy maybe up by then, I'm not sure, but that's another very similar style of team with a lot of young talent too. So, I mean, the Orioles last 10 years, I mean, besides last year, the Orioles haven't been really even contenders, so it's nice to see these Nationals, Orioles stepping up, being contenders, some new talent, some new youth coming through and topping the ranks of baseball. So what are your who else did pretty good? The A's got shut out by Felix did a pretty good job yesterday. Felix Hernandez looks like he's pretty much back on the top of his game. Jackie Bradley looked pretty good. Jackie Bradley's cards are soaring. Bowman Chrome autos are going for like $80-$90 right now. I mean, I'm talking about the non-numbered. I think you have one, Dan. You should probably put it on eBay. But Jackie Bradley starting.
Do I have one?
I think you do.
Put it on eBay.
$80.
Damn.
Yeah. He. I think he got two runs yesterday. Looked pretty good. Made a pretty good catch in the outfield. And the Red Sox beat the Yankees. CC Sabathia had a pretty bad outing. So yeah, he's another young talent that's going to be pretty good. I was actually surprised he made it up so quick, because I think he was drafted in, what, 2011? Jackie Bradley?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I know the Red Sox are decimated from all their trades and stuff, so they had some room for him, but, you know, that's a pretty quick call-up.
Well,
that must be
he was
real
in
deal.
He was in the same draft as Gary Brown and Machado and
No, it was the year after.
No?
It was a Trevor Bauer.
Really?
Yeah, it was a Trevor Bauer. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 2011.
Wow.
Not 2000.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe somebody on the forum.
Machado.
First
Machado.
40th pick, 2011.
Okay.
Nice.
Supplemental.
And, Brown and Brown, Machado, all those guys, that was 2010?
Yeah, they were in 2010 draft. It was Brown,
okay.
A.N., Machado, yeah. So those guys, you're probably confused because Jackie Bradley was in a ton of USA stuff. So
yeah,
he was in like 2010 USA, 2010 Sterling. He had a lot of him and Starling were in a lot of prior stuff. Yeah, he got drafted the same year as Bubba Starling as well. So what do you guys? I mean, you said the Nationals. I can't. You know, obviously my alliance lies to the Giants, so I'm not going to pick the Giants. But what do you guys think? Who's going to be a favorite this year in baseball?
Well, I mean, a sleeper team?
Yeah, let's go with sleepers.
Wow, I don't even know. I mean,
I put you on the spot.
Do people sleep on the Giants enough to call it a sleeper team? All I hear about is the Dodgers and how much money. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's who has pitching in October. It gets colder. It's not a beer league softball situation like it is at the hot time of the year and at some of these ballparks and stuff. So, for me, it's like, if you got good pitching and you got a bullpen that you've got every single guy you can count on, so it's, to me, that's like St. Louis has a really good bullpen, and they've obviously proven over the years they've been able to do it. The Reds looked pretty good last year, and then they choked against the Giants. So, I mean, in the National League, I don't know too much about the American League. You know, most of that, it's just, you know, it's just softball over there in the American League for the most part. You know, they just, you know, try to hit three-run home runs. And then we've seen at the end of the year when it gets a little cold, the balls aren't going to travel as far and stuff. So and the pitching gets better and the cream of the crop rises. So for me, it's all about those teams with great pitching. San Francisco, Atlanta has a decent staff, if I'm not mistaken. Washington with Strasburg and Gio Gonzalez and a few other teams. So, but we'll see. There could be, you know, a number of teams that kind of break out. Kansas City's been begging to break out for the last, like, 10 years and stuff with all the prospects they have. So, who knows if they
just
put it together over there.
Yeah,
Pittsburgh puts a step forward. So,
you just took my sleeper pick there. I was going to go over Kansas City myself. As much as I want to say the Astros, because they're 1-0, I think they'll do better than last year, but I think they're going to have a tough time in the American League. But, yeah, I think Kansas City with you got Moustakas, Hosmer, Salvador Perez. Yeah, I mean, even Lorenzo Cain was a highly touted prospect center fielder for the Royals who got hurt last year. So I think he's going to come around. Pitching may be a little bit of an issue, but they did trade Will Myers for James Shields, so he's pretty much their ace. Urban Santana is their second guy. You got Guthrie, Wade Davis. So I mean they could make a run, maybe make that wild card spot. But you know, last year I picked Seattle as a sleeper and that didn't really pay off for me, so what do I know?
I think Seattle lost. They lost about 100 games, didn't they?
It's like 95.
I think there's teams like the Royals, like the Pirates, Astros, the Mariners. I think they're still a couple years away, but they're all on the right track. I mean, they're building from within. They're doing it with draft picks. They're doing it with prospects and basically making it so they don't have to go out and spend the big money on the big contracts. And,
yeah.
You know, I think the Rays are going to be pretty good. I think the Orioles are on the come up. I know they had a good year last year, but I think they're going to have a solid year this year. I think the Indians are my surprise team. I think they're going to come out and be a solid team, at least in the American League. The National League, man, it's hard to say. I think I think the NL West is going to be a three-team race throughout the whole year. I think everybody's going to be bunched up. I think between the D-backs, the Dodgers, and the Giants, I think it's going to be a three-team race pretty much all the way up until September. The D-backs are going to be good. I mean, they were pretty good last year. I mean, they had some injuries, but they're going to be definitely with the Giants and Dodgers throughout the whole year.
Well, I like Goldschmidt. I think Goldschmidt can, and that's a guy I think you can invest in now. I mean, not that his cards are cheap, but I think he can be poised for a 20 to 30 home run season or more. Big kid. I mean, nice swing. I love his swing. I mean, I guess maybe it's because I'm a Giants fan, and I think every at bat he had against Lincecum, I think he hit a home run. So,
well, I was gonna say, if he played against Lincecum all season long, he'd probably hit like 200 home runs. I mean, yeah. the guy is insane, man. Like he's definitely got a good swing, and he's got some pop for sure. And playing in that ballpark, I mean, he can hit 40 home runs in a season, no problem.
Definitely. Yeah, and Montero, I mean, Diamondbacks Montero, I mean, they lost Upton, but, I mean, might not be that big. I mean, their pitching's pretty good. Kennedy, Cahill, Miley, J.J. Poots is their closer, which he's getting a little bit on the older side. I remember him from Seattle days. In the chat, Kelp says, Jays, Rays, O's, and Angels, and White Sox, and then you got, for the National League, he's saying Nats, Dodgers, Giants, Cards, and Braves. That's a pretty good pick there.
That's pretty good.
The Blue Jays, I keep sleeping on those guys for all the money they spent. So they got Jose Reyes and Batista and Lowry. Nope. I mean, they got some big boys on Blue Jays too. So
Melky.
And the Milkman. Are they going to have Milkman in Toronto? I wonder if they're going to follow.
They better. Those guys should go out there. They have, their career just got rejuvenated.
Oh, I laugh. I want to see. I'm going to be watching on MLB to see if I can see some Milkman out there, just some Canadian Milkman, you know, just rocking it, the all-white jumpsuit with the white hat.
Cows in Canada? Are there cows in Canada?
I think they import them. I think they import a little
bit. The cows.
That'd be a good question to ask a Canadian guest. So I don't know. That's a good one.
Yeah. I'm curious now.
Tweet it out. Let's tweet it out. Let's find out. Is there any cows in Canada for us dumb Americans here? You know, I actually got called a dumb American on YouTube the other day.
Damn.
Because I did a hockey break and I butchered some names and I'm a dumb American. So, you know, That's how it is. But they don't have cows, so there you go. You know, I'm a dumb American, and you don't have cows. I'm just kidding.
Take that.
Take that. Take your free health care. I pay $300 a month for mine. How about that? You know? But moving on, I want to talk about Deadspin wrote an article on, and we've all had these eBay experiences before, but this was a famous eBay experience. Arizona Diamondback pitcher Brad Ziegler, is most of you out there know he's a collector. Well, he got in a little bit of an eBay spat, and I don't know who came out on top here. I could see both sides. He's basically trying to buy – he collects a lot of Babe Ruth stuff, which, you know, the price tag on Babe Ruth is obviously hefty. But he was trying to buy the 2013 Babe Ruth cut auto relic from Series 1, and it was a redemption, and I believe it still is. So the card that was posted on eBay was just a redemption. So his response, and I'm going to try to not go word for word because this might be like a 30-minute segment if I do, but I'm just going to highlight some of the conversation between him and seller. Well, seller had the card at $20,000 or best offer. So he sent a message saying, what are you looking for? What are you looking to get for this? I'm interested. I'm a little skeptical of the autograph being cut off. Topps has a tendency to do that, which may hurt the value. I'm willing to do PayPal. A triple threads auto that wasn't under redemption sold for $4,500 on eBay last summer. Please let me know. So then the person said, the value of this card cannot be compared to others because it's one of a kind. I chose to sell a redemption to guarantee the condition of the actual card. I will not consider anything less than $12,000. So then he goes, no one will ever pay you $12,000 for a Ruth cut auto. You can get his auto on a baseball for way less than that card, and it's not like his autos are rare. Popular, sure, but not rare. So it kind of escalated at that, and the seller says, thanks, I've done my research, but I appreciate your opinion. And then he put, yeah, you must have looked at cards sold in 2005 when everybody had money. He says, ask the seller in 2013, most of them have sold for around $4,000. I don't think adding a Ruth's jersey makes it worth $8,000. And then the person kind of got snide and said, that's the great thing about America. I can choose for what I want it to sell for. And you can choose what you want to buy it for me. So he said, I've already had offers at $9,000, so I'm not going to take anything less. So, and then Ziegler, instead of kind of backing away, he said, you can, he kept going and saying, and if the card can't be compared to others because it's one of a kind, then what does your research do? You can't research things that you don't compare, which I guess is a good point. But then the person said, my point exactly. You can't compare this card to other eBay listings. My research was done with eBay alone. I'm confident on my asking price. So it goes on back and forth, back and forth. I mean, literally like 20, 30 messages. I think it ends by saying, the person, the seller saying, you clearly know nothing about this card because there's only one. It's not just an auto. It's a game-used Babe Ruth jersey. Good luck with your collection. This is one card that certainly won't be in it. It's sad that you have this much time on your hands to argue with somebody what they're selling a card for on eBay. Get a life, my dear. Good night. Ziegler replied one more time. Ah, yes, the life of a Major League Baseball player. So much time on my hands. I have two Ruth autos with jersey material auto on card and one booklet Ruth with bat relics on the other side of the book. I paid less than $9,000 for each of them. I am not a novice. I got a monster collection, and I know the market without having to do research. So, I don't know. I just, what do you guys think? Who do you think's right? I mean, obviously it's America, and you can sell the card for whatever you want. I mean, this may, there's probably many conversations like this between eBay sellers and buyers, but being said it was a so-called celebrity or a major league pitcher, it actually made an article.
Yeah, it kind of sucks that he got, like, put on blast like that, that he, like, his eBay messages got outed and like that. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, if you're a, you know, a athlete,
is there any,
or
like,
whatever.
Legality? Is there any legality to, you know, being able to put stuff on like a public forum of a private conversation? I mean, I wonder
probably
if there's
not.
Any kind. Probably not.
Probably not. Probably if one part, it's kind of like if you record a conversation, as long as one person knows it's being recorded, that, I mean, I don't know. I don't, it didn't sound like it. There was any, it doesn't seem like Ziegler comes off that bad. He just wants to buy a card, you know? And I think anybody who's sold cards before, they've had that experience where somebody emails them and they really want the card, but they want it for a certain price, and then they don't
right.
want to pay, you know, way over and above what they think it's worth. And he's probably right. It's not worth, it's obviously not worth $20,000, and it's probably not worth $10,000. It's more like what he said, $4,000 or $5,000. And without having seen the card from Topps, that's a little difficult. If I were the guy, I'd honestly would redeem it first and then sell it, because it might be that you get a really nice cut of Ruth, and the jersey may be nice, or whatever kind of relic it is could be really nice. And maybe you are talking about $6,000, $7,000, maybe $8,000 to a guy like that. So I don't know. I think it's just a situation that happens. I remember I sold a card for that. I think I sold it for about $4,000, and not the same thing didn't happen to me, but people would email me and kind of down talk the card. Because I think I had it for $5,000 or $6,000, our best offer, and people would say, hey, you know, it's not worth, you know, $3,000, and da 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 da. But Damian Lillard sold for this much, and blah 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 blah. And so I'm like, hey, I'm listing it. This is what I want for it. If it doesn't sell, I'm not going to lose a wink of sleep.
Right.
So I think that's just the mentality sometimes people have. It's like, hey, I don't need the money. I don't care. It's not going to go down in value. That Babe Ruth is not going to go down in value. There really isn't a whole lot of urgency to sell.
Right.
Sure, it's worth, like Ziegler said, it's worth less than it was back in whatever, 05 or whatever. Sure, that's because they keep making these Ruth one-of-ones. I mean, there's a Ruth
right.
one-of-one every year. That's why they keep going. It's not that people had money back then. It's that they keep making these damn things. So Ruth autographs show up, you know, every day, apparently. I don't know how many times that guy signed, but, I mean, autographs keep popping up. So I don't know. I don't think anybody is wrong or right. I just a kind of a, I guess, a somewhat typical thing that happens when buying cards, I guess.
Yeah, I've had experiences like that, too. I mean, you know, I love it when the seller, when you offer them, like, say it's like a $75 card, you offer them $50, and then they up the price. I think, Dan, you just had an experience on Check Out My Cards where person was like, the guy was like, no, I'm not going to sell it for that, but now I'm going to raise the price.
Right. Yeah, it was like an Eric Sogard orange auto out of chrome. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, no, this guy's hitting pretty well. He's gonna be platooning with who else is playing second base for the A's? But he's gonna be I think Lowry, somebody. He's gonna be platooning with somebody. And I was like, he's doing pretty good. He's an older guy, but I'm like, I'll pick it up. And I offered the guy probably, I mean, it was, I could have just bought it for what he was asking, but I think I offered him like $4 or $5 less than what he was asking for it. And he upped the asking price by like $25 and then submitted me the original asking price as his counteroffer. And I'm like, all right. Kind of a jerk move. I'm like, I don't even know if I really want it, but I was like, whatever. I'm like, I don't know. I guess I could have just bought it for the asking price, and I guess that's where he was coming from on that. But
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I see both. I mean, back to Ziegler. I mean, I see both points, and he probably does know Babe Ruth market value better than anybody because he's been buying them. I mean, how many of us actively search Babe Ruth 101s. I mean, it's not even I can't afford that. I'm more, you know, looking for, you know, like Jackie Bradley or Zunino autos that are in the $200 price range or lower. So I don't ever approach that kind of coin. So, you know, I see both sides, but it's kind of funny that it did actually make a media outlet. Deadspin's, it's not NBC by any means, but it's, you know, there's a lot of stories on Deadspin.com, and for whatever reason, it made it on there. So interesting.
I think it's a bummer that he got outed. I mean, that's kind of lame.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't. I mean, no matter. I mean, I don't think he's wrong. I don't think anybody is wrong or right in the situation. But kind of sheds a bad light on him, because people are going to look at him and go, "Well, he's a Major League Baseball player. He has money. Why doesn't he just give the person what they want for it? It's not really going to affect him at all." And it just sheds a bad light on him. And I mean, he just wanted to buy the card for what he felt it was worth, right or wrong. I don't think anybody was really right or wrong in this sense. I mean, it is what it is. And like Ryan was saying, like they make, I mean, every product that comes out, it seems like there's a Ruth cut, you know, all that does is devalue the other Ruth cuts.
Yeah.
So at some point, I mean, there's going to be enough Ruth cut autos where they're going to be probably $1,000 or $2,000. I mean, the more you make, the more they're going to devalue.
And there's actually
pretty basic.
There's a pretty classic picture that was floating around. I think I might have saw it on a forum where it's Babe Ruth on a couch, and there's literally like 700 baseballs that he has signed. Like he's just sitting there signing. And you can see, like, the empty pack of balls and all the balls that he's already signed. So, you know, it's a relatively easy autograph to fake, too. I'm not saying that anything coming from Topps is, but it's nothing that's really complicated to fake. So, I mean, that's got to be a concern, too, that all these cuts are popping up everywhere, and are they all 100% signed by Babe Ruth? Who knows?
Right.
And where do they keep getting these jerseys and these bats from? Like, how many freaking Ty Cobb bat knobs are out there. Like, there's one every year now, too. There's a bat knob every year. I mean, can we actually prove that Ty Cobb touched this bat? I mean, who knows? I mean, I know some of them have PSA DNA stickers on them, like the ones that were in National Treasures, but, I mean, it's hard to say. Was it one of his bats that he just traveled with, was never game used? I mean, I'm sure there was no proof back then, any logging of games or whatnot.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, a lot of that stuff, I mean, there isn't that many of them. A lot of those guys would use those bats until they would break. I mean, they wouldn't switch bats like they do today, where guy like basically strikes out or, you know, feels a bat is like bad luck and he just switches them like crazy. I mean, they would use those bats literally until they would just snap in half. Same thing with the jerseys. They didn't switch jerseys every game. So
right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you got to figure there's got to be a limited amount of memorabilia out there, but, you know, it just keeps on popping up. So and the collectors love it. So, I mean, if people are going to be paying a premium for it, that stuff will keep on popping up.
Definitely.
I'm just thinking, like, when are they going to start reusing stuff that's actually in cards? I mean, once the resources dry up, they're going to be like, okay, I'm going to start buying these cards and, like, taking the memorabilia out and putting it into another card. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, who knows?
How many cut autos have you seen that are from the Hall of Fame induction ceremony plaques? I mean, it's like nine out of ten of them.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell if anybody out there doesn't know, if you see a cut auto that it's yellow and it has a little like half circle, it's basically a Hall of Fame plaque. There's a name for them. I forget what they're called, but they all were their induction ceremony.
The Dick Perez Hall of Fame plaque. Doesn't he do the art on
that? Perez, yeah. Perez Steel, I think they call him.
Yeah.
And they probably sign hundreds and thousands of them on the day of their Hall of Fame induction ceremony. So those things are popping up. Like National Treasures had a few that I seen, Prime Cuts. It seems like a lot of them are in those products. So, you know, I don't know if they sell them those days or the guy signs for free, but those are a lot of cut autos are used from those. So, but moving on, you know, on the way home today, I think I'm going to go get myself a Crunchwrap Supreme, a Doritos Locos Tacos, and some Panini Hoops packs. Because you can get them at Taco Bell now.
Hell yeah.
It's a Happy Meal, right?
Yeah, it's a kid's meal. It's like $2.99. One of my buddies actually got a Kyrie out of there. And he was like, oh, I got some Kyrie. He doesn't collect cards. And I was like looking on eBay. I'm like, that's like a $15 card, dude. You bought a $3 meal, you get a $15 card. You can go buy more Crunch Wraps.
Bonus.
Get more Mexican pizzas. You can get more cool ranch Doritos Locos Tacos.
You could do it's like a free roll. You just go buy, sell on eBay, and like you said, now you have more Taco Bell. You got a free Taco Bell, and you got $8.99 PayPal from your Kyrie and your Damian Lillard. You're good to go.
Man, that's a come up. You just eat for free until this whole promotion's gone. You know, just keep eating there 3-4 times a day. Just keep getting cards, man. And you get the cinnamon twists in the meal too, which are pretty good.
Those are decent, and their chips and cheese nachos are just. I don't eat a whole lot from there, but their basic nachos are decent. The cinnamon twists are decent, and if it's like 1:30 in the morning and shit, and you've been drinking, Taco Bell is like one of the only things open. So it's mandatory. So
you're preaching.
I don't know what they put in their cheese, man. It's like, I think it's pretty much like crack, man. You're like, I need it. I need some Taco Bell cheese, man. Give it to me.
See
the regular nachos, just like literally the bag of chips and that cheese is like amazing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's so simple. I don't get it.
See, but you get the chips and cheese at 2 a.m. and I get a Kyrie card. I might accidentally dip the Kyrie card in the cheese.
Kyrie.
You know?
Oh, that'd be a $15 mistake.
Or an eBay 101.
Cheese dip.
Put some fire sauce on the other corner. Bam. Added value.
There you go. Gloss it over the whole thing so it'll be like fire gloss or whatever. It's like a parallel.
cracked fire ice, hot sauce,
yeah.
Cheese. Classic. I don't think there's any autos in there. That would have been cool if they threw like just like very limited autos in there just to kind of chase.
That would
have been nuts if they did. I mean, I know that Kyrie's in there. It looks like Paul Pierce, LeBron James. It's 150 cards in the set. They're numbered on the back too. That's cool. It's $2.99 meal and you get it.
Sweet.
So if you get it, it's 150 cards in the set. You can buy. It looks like it's a 5-card pack. So if you buy 30 kids meals, you can build a set. So I think I'm going to go there.
I'll take 30 kids meals, please.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go there every day for the next month and just get a kid's meal. But for me, it'd probably take 5 kid's meals to fill me up. So, you know,
nice.
that's a lot of cinnamon twists. If you guys in our breaks, you know, instead of Packy Peanuts, get cinnamon twists, you'll know. You know,
wow.
Overage of cinnamon twists. John says Taco Bell employees pack searching.
Yeah, probably.
Where's that Kyrie at?
20 lot of Kyrie and shit. Like, how did he get 20 Kyries? Like, already? Like, really?
Seriously, I know you can find an eBay seller and it's got like 30 of them and his name's like Taco Bell Sam. You know what's up.
Taco Bell 1 or whatever.
But I wanted to share a good customer service experience with Tops. I know we've had our run-ins, and most of it has been negative in the past. And, you know, I want to be an equal opportunity radio show and talk about the good experiences. So I heard from a customer today that she sold a Darvish number to 10 auto from Sterling. It was a redemption. She sold it on eBay for like $600. And she was a little leery because the guy was in Japan. So she's like, you know, shipping, blah, blah, blah. So she went through all the steps, put the tracking on it, which I know is expensive. It's like $30 or $40 to ship something overseas with tracking on it. So it gets there, and the guy contacts her and says, I didn't get the card, right? So he files a PayPal claim immediately saying, I didn't get the card. So she contacts the postal service, and they say it was signed for, but they didn't have – the signature picture for whatever reason. You know, things are different in Japan than they are in the U.S. So she didn't have complete proof that he signed for it. So what she did was she called Tops customer service and said, is there any way you can look up and see if something had been redeemed? And the guy's like, I can't say the name. She's like, that's fine. I'll give you the guy's name. Well, the guy that bought the Darvish 3 days from when he received it opened a Tops customer opened a redemption account with Tops and claimed that card and had the same name that she shipped it to. So Tops was able to confirm with eBay that this, in fact, was the guy that received the card, and she wound up winning the claim because of Tops.
Wow.
So they went the extra mile, and the guy said, the customer service rep, I believe his name is Vince, said that he hates when people do that and, you know, scammers and stuff like that. So he went above and beyond and you know, made sure she won her claim. And so I wanted to share that with you guys, that there are some good experiences with Tops customer service out there. I know they may be few and far between, and hopefully we'll start hearing some more good experiences soon. We're going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they are changing their customer service. But that was a good, that, I mean, the guy, he could have just told her to, sorry, you know, we're not responsible for shipped redemptions. So.
That's killer, man. That's a good story.
Yeah, definitely. And I actually heard that there's a lot of people that, you know, have you guys seen them on eBay when somebody tries to sell a used redemption, like it's scratched, and it, like it seems like a scam because it's like Bryce Harper, 2012 Bryce Harper, number to 50 autograph, blah, 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 and then the last
three
words.
Yeah, just the redemption card.
Yeah, it's like it says used at the end. And if you look at it on an iPhone, I mean, I know I'm not, you know, high tech like Dan with his Samsung, but when you look at it on an iPhone, you see, you don't get to see the whole, like, listing. Some of the words are cut off. So, you know, sometimes I've gone on there and I've seen Bryce Harper auto and I'm like, wow, $40? I'm like, no way. You know, it's like ending in an hour. I'm like, I'm going to bid. Oh, used. Well, I heard people are actually buying the used redemptions and then calling Top, say, hey, I don't know why I can't redeem this. Like, I've tried, and some of them are winning cases.
Damn. Wow. Wow.
So I don't advise anybody trying that, but I've heard that there is some shenanigans going on where the person's buying the redemption and say, this is my code. I don't know why it's redeemed. Here's my picture of my card. I have it. This is where I got it from. Here's my pack.
Yeah, that's crazy. I've always wondered why people were selling used redemptions. I'm like, there's no value in it. I mean, it's basically a piece of paper at this point.
Yeah, I always thought it was a scam that they would just get somebody that didn't realize it was a used redemption and they'd buy it.
That's kind of what I figured. But I mean, the eBay market is flooded with them.
Right. Right. Yeah, I don't. It's crazy. So I wanted to get into some Gypsy Queen. I did a real quick search on 2013 Gypsy Queen just to see if stuff has came up on eBay. There's a lot of just base on eBay. Found a few autos, Matt Carpenter on card auto. I mean, the set looks good. I mean, nothing mind-blowing from last year. Sportscardradio.com has a checklist up. What are you thinking so far on some of the – what's your opinion on Gypsy Queen?
That stuff was hot. A couple of years ago, it was the first year they made it. I want to say it was not last year, it was the year before. So what is that, 2011? Yeah, so 2011, the first year they made it, it was a lot simpler. There wasn't no base card variations. They only had a few parallels and stuff. And then last year they just, it was like all this crap. They had all these base card variations. They had mini variations. They had parallels, more parallels and mini parallels and this, and this, and this. And then this year it's just about the same type of deal. Right now, I think some of the hobby cards are actually trickling on eBay now, whereas just for the last, like, week, it's just been all this retail crap, base cards, and these SP cards in the base set, which I don't understand why they call these things SP cards, because, so there's 50 SP cards, and they're one in four packs, or whatever, quote-unquote, to pull an SP card, but then there's 350 cards in the total set, so you minus out that 50, now you've got 300, quote-unquote, regular cards, but they're actually harder to pull than the SP cards. The base SP cards, if you do the math on it, to pull one of the 300 regular cards in a regular pack is actually harder to pull than one of the 50 SP cards. So I never understood why, these SP cards are really not short print cards. They're actually not shorter print than the regular cards in the base set. Just kind of just stupid things that I just think of sometimes when I'm sitting there looking at the set, and then I'm looking at the odds. I'm like, it's really not harder to pull these SP cards. But they do have some really difficult SP variation cards that are like one in 800 retail packs, and they're probably going to be like one in several hundred hobby packs. So those are kind of interesting. Those only usually sell for about 20, 30 bucks sometimes, but those could be worth more because there's just not that many of them.
Right.
The autographs look nice. I just think it's a set, it's a set builder's thing. It's not going to be a thing where you guys are going to be, or any breaker is going to be running through, even one or two cases of this stuff, because it would just take forever to sort. I mean, you guys would be there for hours and hours if you had to break five cases of this stuff. So it's more of a kind of a set builder, rip and flipper type of baseball fan type of set. That, it'll be interesting. Once the hobby stuff gets put on there, it'll be interesting to see what there is. There's some bat barrels and some art patch cards. There's an art patch card on eBay. Those are one of one. Those will probably sell for $100 to $300. I don't know. I thought the set had a lot more hype to it back in 2011, and the last couple of years have just been kind of meh. I don't think the box price has moved very much on it at the wholesale level. I think it's just kind of a set builder's thing. It's not a thing that's going to get everybody fired up. Probably in a couple weeks will get people going a little more.
Yeah, I think I agree. Yeah, definitely. There are some things I do like. They're doing mini card buttons that are numbered to three. I like that. But you know what I don't like, and they put it in other stuff, is a coin cards. I think it's stupid. I think, why do I need a freaking quarter or a dime or whatever, or foreign currency? Why do I need it in my card? Like, I know that they're now putting the hometowns of the guys from, California, it's a California quarter, but like, I don't know. It's their serial number to five, so they will sell well, but I just think it's a stupid looking card, personally. It's like, just, what does coins have to do with, I know people collect coins, but it's not like they're putting in a quarter that's from, 1905 or something that, is collectible. They're just like they did in Magic. It was just like a quarter from 1992. It was like a Florida quarter. So it had no really value other than it's worth a quarter. if you needed some change to pay something off, you could, take the quarter out of the card. And I'm sure there's some guys that aren't really worth much that people will just take the quarter out of it and use it at Taco Bell.
I don't know. I don't know, man, dude. If you needed to do some laundry, man, and that was the only quarter you have, might pull it out of the card.
I've been there, man. When you have to pay for laundry, that is a bummer. And then you go to the bank, and they don't want to give you quarters because they're, like, hoarding them. They're like, are you a customer here? Like, I don't want to give you my quarters. And it's, like, exchange rates. And it's like, come on, I'll give you $12 for $10 in quarters. It's rough, man. So I don't doubt that some people would actually take the quarter out of the card to do laundry.
Dude, what kind of shoddy bank you going to?
It was when we lived on the south side, right? And my bank was like 10 miles away, right? Well, there was a bank that was in walking distance, and every time I went in there to get quarters, they were like, well, are you a customer here? I'm like, no. They're like, sorry, we can't give you quarters.
Sorry, we're a bank, but we're out of quarters. We don't do quarters.
Yeah, they're like only if you're a customer here. And I'm like, okay.
Oh.
So, just quarter hoarders, you know? Quarter hoarders. Seriously.
Nice.
But, yeah, I don't like that. I mean, I do like some of the inserts. They have mini autographs, too. They're showing on sportscardradio.com. They have a Ken Griffey Jr. here, mini. That looks pretty cool. Some of the autograph, some questionable autograph guys, but some good ones. You got some Rizzo, some Bundy, John Kruk. He's in there. There's guys like Matt Carpenter. You'll probably see a lot of Michael Fears. You'll see a lot of Matt Morse. You'll probably see a lot of. There is Mike Trout. But I'm sure he's going to be a little bit on the harder side to pull. Same thing with Jonas. He's going to be on the harder side to pull. Oh, look, Kenny Lofton. That's kind of cool. Kenny Lofton. All right. I haven't seen Kenny Lofton in a while. Jim Abbott. Jim Abbott's in the set.
Yeah.
And then the autograph minis, you got Matt Cain, Tony Gwynn, Mike Trout, Bryce Harper's in there. So it's a fairly big auto set. From a hobby standpoint, it looks like it's four hits. So it's two relics, two autos. But it is 55 packs per box. No, I'm just kidding. It's 24 packs per box. 10 cards per pack. If you're doing the math at home, that's 2,400 cards a case. Not that I ever pay attention to base cards or anything, but, you know, 2,400 cards. So everybody's going to be getting a lot of base. But, it should be fun. We're doing our break tomorrow. I don't think we have any spots left, but we're doing, I think, at 10 a.m. So if you want to get an early look into Gypsy Queen Hobby tomorrow, I guess it won't be early for those.
We always do at least one full case of the base heavy products, and you got to do it. And we get different customers usually come in, because I don't think a lot of breakers actually do the base heavy products,
right?
Like the Series One and the Archives and Gypsy Queen and Heritage and stuff like that. So I mean, you know, I mean, that's the type of collector I am. I mean, I want to. I just love my team, so it'd be cool just to get a bunch of Giants base cards and stuff like that. So
for sure, and I think that's why it's definitely a good set for those that just collect one team and aren't completely after the hit. I think this has a pretty good mix. I mean, it's 10 boxes, so there's 40 hits, and plus you throw in SPs and stuff like that. So there's just some added value there along with the set building. So hopefully 2011 was very strong. 2012 was a flop. So hopefully this year improves upon last year, and we have a good set. So we'll see tomorrow for sure. So, and then we got right on the tail of that, Panini actually did a weird thing, and they're releasing two sets on Thursday. I don't know if they were like, we're worried about everybody buying Gypsy Queen, so we're going to move the release to Thursday. I don't know what the thought process was, because there's nothing ever been released on Thursday, but they're releasing Playbook and NBA Select on Thursday. 4-4. Maybe that's why. Maybe they like the 4-4. But 4-4. Playbook looks pretty strong. I hope the book cards are not devalued, because they put like three in a box now as opposed to one. So three book cards, four hits in a box. All the big names are in there. RG3, Luck. You know, the book cards look a lot better this year. Actually, it looks a little reminiscent of Triple Threads books. Triple Threads cards that have the writings and stuff. They have an RG3 book card that I saw that says hurdles on it. And then behind it has, you know, his jersey. So they're going with more sayings or quotes, so to speak, on these book cards. So should be interesting. And then Select Basketball is already on fire. So I don't think that one's going to be a dud. I think it looks pretty strong. They're using that Prism technology. So big name rookies, vets.
How many hits in the select?
In the select, I believe it's four and then one mem, I think. Let me double check that. So, and I think it's only 10 packs, so it's a little bit less. Pax, it all signs point to it being a winner, but we, like I said, we should see. I think they did a great job of putting those selects in the Summit Pax to kind of get a buzz on it already. I think that
a little bit of a preview. Yeah, those cards look really, really cool. I think that's going to be a killer set.
Yeah, it looks like 4 autographs, 4 prism parallels, and 6 inserts per box. It's a 14 pack box, 6 cards per pack, 2 7 pack mini boxes, and they have the gold number to 10 and the black 101. So you know the golds are going to be on fire. I mean, it's
cool. Oh yeah, those are going to be popping.
Yeah, and it's the looks like the set is mostly rookie based. What I could see, Kyrie, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, all those guys. Trying to see. Oh, there's jersey autographs. All the guys. There's Hall selections, hot rookies. Yeah, so it looks pretty good, man. I love the way that, there's Kevin Durant autos, Kobe Bryant, Blake Griffin.
Nice.
So there's some good mix of some veterans in there too. So.
We have something that Topps is doing tomorrow, right? Turkey Red Football.
Oh yeah,
going on sale tomorrow at 7 o'clock in the morning our time, Pacific time.
Thanks for reminding me. I got to go buy 85 boxes tomorrow.
You can only buy 24.
I'm gonna create 10 different email names. So yeah, I'm gonna create 10 different email names, and I'm gonna use my dog.
That's pretty much the same style as the baseball. It looks like it was 9 cards, 1 auto per pack. I think there's like 1 parallel per pack as well.
Nice. I'm going to actually contact my distributor to get that.
Really?
Or is it online only?
It's online only.
Online, I think.
Topps is selling their own cards, huh?
Yeah, Topps.com.
Nice. Topps.com.
I think.
Online exclusive. Who's buying some Turkey Red in the forum? Anybody?
It's gonna go off. I mean, I think it's like, what, 20, 25 bucks a pack or something like that. You're guaranteed 1 auto. We've seen what happened with the Turkey Red baseball. I mean, they sold out, and they were, even before they were shipping, they were selling for like 40 bucks a pack.
Yeah, they're gonna sell out probably in an hour, maybe even a half an hour. So maybe
yep.
Since I pay a little bit more for Comcast internet, I'll be able to get on there first, faster.
There you go.
I don't know. I was actually playing dumb about my distributor. I know it's only Topps online only. I was trying to be funny. It probably didn't work out on the humor scale with you guys.
I didn't get it. I'm like, you're gonna be kind of ass out there.
Card joke. You try to make a card joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just didn't work, you know.
How much more time you got, Brian?
Like a few minutes.
Oh, okay. What do we got next? It looks like Tom is on hold, so we'll bring you on here soon here, Tom, talk about some card shop finder, talk about its site. But I wanted to talk about some good return on investment products that I just kind of scoured real quick. You can get a box of 2011 plates and patches on, I think it's either DA or Blowout for 75 bucks, and that's 5 hits. Pretty good return on investment there. I mean, nothing's guaranteed in this hobby, but 75 bucks is pretty good. Baseball, ITG, I know not a lot of people aren't big fans of ITG, but you can get a 2011 Heroes and Prospect Baseball for about 55 bucks a box, and there's a lot of Trout, a lot of Will Middlebrooks in the set, Zach Wheeler, Machado, a lot of autos, and those, even though it's ITG, you can still sell a Trout for like 100, 150 bucks. And then NBA, I got Past and Present, 2011-2012, you can get for 60 bucks a box. And that's typically 3 autos, and you can get one of those redemptions for this year's rookie class. So, and there's a lot of old school guys in there. Like I pulled like a Nick Anderson. You can get some pretty good old school autos, Muggsy Bogues, pretty good value. Plus, I like that set too. So, some pretty good values in this hobby to buy. Before we bring Tom on, I wanted to talk about some strange things in this hobby. I found a forum post. I can't remember what. I think it was Cardboard, Freedom Cardboard, but it just like weird things that like happen in this hobby. Like a cut auto of a deceased player you could buy for $10. But if you take the cut auto and you put it in a card, you can sell it for $100.
Sure.
You know?
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's like, you know, a card number to $500 or a card number to 500, like a Bowman Chrome refractor, is more valuable than the same player, same year, from Panini that's numbered to 99.
Yeah. Well, I mean that could be licensing right there. I mean, people always make a big deal about it.
You can write on, if you write on a card, the value is gone, but a handwritten serial number on the card from the manufacturer is fine.
Right.
Restoring a card is a major no-no, punishable by whips and chains, although it's fully acceptable in other hobbies.
Yep.
We also use the cheapest priced protection for our most expensive card sets. We value little swatches of cloth on our cards, regardless if the actual swatch outside the card is worthless and indistinguishable. So a card can actually be worth more than the full jersey itself.
Yeah, that's what's crazy.
That is crazy. That's a good point.
And I talked to a few people at the summit that were actually upset that, like, some people acquire, like, I think it was a hockey guy, that they'll acquire a big name, like, Gordie Howe jersey, and they'll cut it up. And they're like, no, that should be in the Hall of Fame. It should be sold the whole jersey. But they'll acquire it and cut it up, put it in a card.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. I can see their point there. But
you know, and, you know, what do you guys think? Any kind of, I know I've been talking a lot today. Maybe it's the Red Bull I drank, but any kind of weird things that you guys can kind of point out that's just like to a normal person would not make sense?
I think the Bowman Chrome to 500 is worth more than the Penny to the 99. I think that's interesting because it just speaks towards the branding, name recognition of Topps, name recognition of Bowman, how important that is and how the companies really value their set names and what they call a product and kind of the legacy behind the product. So I think that's interesting. It sounds like an interesting thread that I should check out. And speaking of checking out, I'm going to check out now. Go to cardshopfinder.com and go Addison Russell, and then I'll be back next week and talk about baseball more, I guess, some players, some prospects. I'll probably see Kyle Crick and a bunch of Addison Russell, so hopefully we'll talk about them. So
definitely. Well, have fun at the fourth game, man. And, you know, I'll look for your tweets. Check out the Madison Russell.
Hell yeah.
All right, man.
All right.
Take care.
Have fun.
Well, we'll go ahead and bring Tom on here, and we'll talk a little bit about his site. So let me click him on here. Tom, how you doing, man?
Great. How are you?
Doing good. How's the weather in Arizona these days?
Oh, man, it's getting warm, but it's actually pretty nice today. It's about 80. How about your San Jose?
It's not bad. 70. This office I'm in right now is extremely hot, but outside it's not bad. So,
cool.
Well, your site is cardshopfinder.com. Let's tell a little everybody that's listening a little bit about the site, your mission statement, and what you're trying to provide.
Yeah, CardShopFinder is just a website about where to find sports card shops around the United States and Canada. And what we try to do is give as much information to collectors who find the site as possible. Store address, store hours. Our big push now is obviously to get reviews, so you can get a better feel of what it's really like to go in the store from a collector's point of view. And we just try to get as much information. So a lot of times online, you know, they'll have a name out there, but you won't be able to tell if it's really open or whatnot. So we really want to put the best information out there possible for collectors.
Definitely. And now, you know, I'm on your site right now, and it's got, you know, just about everything. And you click on the state, and, you know, I've heard experiences from people that, you know, they might be on vacation and, you know, maybe National Treasures football just came out or whatnot, and they want to find out where a shop is, and you're pretty much the go-to site when it comes to that. So it's a great service that you're providing.
Yeah.
When did you guys start the site?
We started, I believe it's right around 2007. What we've been doing is over time, you know, we just make a lot of phone calls, talk to a lot of people, You know, make sure they're still out there. Are there things that we're going to miss? Of course. And if somebody knows that something is not correct, send us the information. We'll definitely double-check it, and then we'll remove it or upgrade it or update it as possible. So, you know, it's always just trying to keep people aware of what's out there at the shop. You know, you never know where you're going to be at any given time, you know. So if you have the fever to go buy some cards, at least you can find a place wherever you're at. So we really just want to make it convenient for collectors to find what's out there and available.
Definitely. And you guys have an app as well. I know it's I have it. You have it for the it's in the Apple market, right?
It's in the Android market. We're working on the Apple one. It's a work in progress, but yeah, we're definitely it's a big push for us to get that done as soon as possible.
Nice. So that's cool, Dan. You got to get that on your Samsung.
I know. I should get it right now. I should be downloading it.
Heck yeah! You should be ripping it, man. It's free.
Sure.
It's collectors.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just super easy to get, and everything we try to do, we try to make it a no charge for collectors. You know, just getting the information out there. You know, we give away the app, make it convenient for you. You know, so we just try to make it easy for everybody to use our products.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's a great service,
well,
sure.
It is, and you have the release calendar on there too, so which helps, you know, like you can look and see the museums coming out, five stars, stuff like that. So if somebody's, you know, just trying to figure out, I know there's actually very few sites that actually have release calendars anymore, so sometimes it's hard to find that as well. So be able to see what's coming out and then find a store that's close to them is good.
Yeah, we're always looking for that information too. And another thing that we've done recently is, if you go to a city page and you want to post an ad, you want to sell your collection, you can sell it there for free. We make it like a Craigslist for collectors. So if, you know, somebody types in San Jose, they can, if there's a shop in the area, they can, and if they want to leave an ad to sell their collection to other collectors who visit that page in the area, feel free. You know, we want to make that free resource for every collector as well. So if you're looking to sell your collection, feel free to, you know, post an ad in your local area.
Definitely. And I clicked on San Jose just to see if the information was up to date, and it absolutely is. It has one of our LCSs, which is Stevens Creek Sports Cards.
Cool.
And All American Sports Cards, which is in South San Jose, and there's actually a few that I didn't know about to sell cards, so maybe I'll have to check those out. So there's four in San Jose, not too many of them around here, surprisingly. But yeah, absolutely correct information here, and looks like Stevens Creek is one of your favorite shops.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people have told us great things about that place, and you know, I think what we try to do, and when we get reviews from collectors, is we really want to highlight the really good guys. You know, what you guys do is awesome. It's a lot of fun. It's an amazing opportunity to get a great value of cards at a great price. But there's also another thing about the hobby, and that's the community. And that's why I kind of want to focus on the card shop, because you meet other collectors. You know, it's really easy to sit in your room and play on the computer and get to know people online. But until you get out there and meet them face-to-face, it's not really a sense of community. And that's what I think the hobby shop does really well. It builds a hobby, a community, and that keeps interest in the hobby. You know, it keeps new people coming into it. So that's one of the things we really want to feature. And if you've got a great shop owner in your area, please do them a favor, reward them for their efforts, and leave them a great review. I really feel like these guys, we go to the industry summit, we hear negative, negative, negative. But there's a few guys, I'd say more than a few, there's a majority of the guys that are there are great people. They put a great effort into, you know, promoting the hobby, and I think those guys should be rewarded, you know. You know, they put a lot of effort into it, and they make the hobby a better place.
Definitely. And now you just kind of segued into what I wanted to talk about. I think you said when we talked outside of the summit that you've been there, that's your second year. How was the experience this year, and what were some of the good and some of the maybe bad of this year's summit?
I think the good thing is you know, there's still a lot of people who care about the hobby. They want to see it go forward. You know, and there's a lot of new people coming into the hobby. I talked to at least four or five different guys that have just recently got into the hobby, you know, whether it's box breaks or opening up their own store. You know, that's great new blood. We need new blood in this hobby. And it's fantastic to see. One of the things that I was super disappointed with is I felt like the shop owner is not always the most important aspect, you know, when talking to like distributors and manufacturers. It's they had kind of I felt they had a you take it because we're who we are attitude, and I kind of feel bad for the shop owner. I wish you know, when they try to fight back, they kind of get screened down, which I felt was disturbing as well. But I would love to see these guys kind of get together and say, look, you know, you're selling your product in my store, you better listen to me, and not the other way around. And well, I think when a few more of these guys get together and start mentioning it to them, I think things are going to get better for their sakes.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I hear you about the they need to hear him more. And I would love to have had I unfortunately was too busy to attend some of these meetings, but I heard from collectors that, you know, the manufacturers had some Q&A, but it was only like 10 minutes, and they wanted to just kind of get going, you know. So it would have been nice to spend some time while they were there and really answer and listen to their concerns on how they can, A, improve products, and just, B, improve the whole customer experience in general for the card shops, customers and the card shop themselves. It would have been nice to have, you know, a meeting for these guys to, because there's probably a lot of good ideas out there that Topps, Panini, Upper Deck could use, you know.
I don't want to just trash those guys, the manufacturers, distributors, because, you know, their business is to make money and they have a job to do. They got to promote their products. But, you know, sometimes when I went last year, they were saying, look, there's certain things we just cannot get done. And I kind of respected that more than, you know, kind of this year I felt like more like we're just going to sweep that under the rug and everybody put a smiley face on it and we'll gloss over it. And unlike the year before, which I felt like a lot of the guys, they were willing to take it head on. And this year I felt like they were kind of just wanted to push it off to the side. So, you know, sure. But that's me. I have a different aspect on what I go to the show for, too. So, you know, I'm just one opinion, obviously. I don't want to speak for the shop owner themselves, because they have a different function, like a much different function there than what I have. So,
sure. Yeah, and us as well. I mean, we don't have a shop either, so it's a little bit different of experience for us. And honestly, I didn't, like I said before, I didn't have enough time to really see what was going on. But to tell us about.
But overall, it's a super positive experience, in my opinion. You know, it's nice to rub elbows with the people, and you get to meet them face to face. You know, I think overall, it's a very positive experience. The hobby's better for a show like that.
Yeah, and it's like, I think one shop owner said, if he could take one good idea that he can use on the shop, the price of admission is, you know, can be anything.
Exactly.
So, tell us about your, who do you collect as far as a collector? What's your favorite team? What do you PC a guy? What does Tom collect?
Well, right now, I'm an Arizona Cardinal fan, so obviously, you know, it's tough to want to collect much there. As if you watch any football at all, it doesn't take long to see how bad they are. But I'm mostly a football card collector. You know, just about anything football. I just love the game itself, you know. So,
definitely.
You know, I try to buy a lot of autographs on the card, though. That's me. I'm a on-the-card guy. But, you know, you have to kind of move back issues to find the pieces you're looking for. But, you know, I guess there's new things that come out with on the card, but, you know, not a lot of things have been catching my eye recently, but.
Sure. Yeah. I hear you there. On card, definitely where it's at. Well, I wanted to do a contest for people that are listening, and they have to go to your site. So basically, if you call in, we're going to give you guys a $30 credit on mojobreak.com. So who wants to call in 347-855-8815. And I want you to tell me, you got to go on cardshopfinder.com, and you got to tell me the name of the card shop in Lahaina, Hawaii. So the first person to call in with the name of that card shop will get a $30 group break credit. So you have to go on cardshopfinder.com, find the name of the LCS or what it may be in Hawaii, in Lahaina, Hawaii. So the first person to call in will win. So it's once again, that number is 347-855-8815. And first person to call in will get that $30 credit. So are you excited for baseball? You a Diamondback fan?
I'm a Cardinal fan. I had to watch that game last night in horror. So same with Cardinals. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was tough, man.
Nice.
It wasn't
I mean, not nice.
It wasn't fun
yeah.
to watch.
Yeah. Well, same thing with the Giants. I mean, we, you know, Clayton Kershaw destroyed us yesterday. So it looks like we got a caller on the line. So we're going to bring on 205. 205, what's up?
What's going on, guy?
What, is this Nick?
Yeah, it is.
Nick, you got the fast fingers, buddy.
Oh, yeah, man.
What's the name of the card shop in Lahaina?
Allen Coin and Stamp.
That's it. Ding, ding, ding. We got a winner, man. So we'll go ahead and I'll go ahead and email you that coupon. You got a $30 group break credit on any of our breaks.
All right, thanks, yeah. Thanks.
All right,
hey, thanks for
visiting
my site, Nick.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for checking out the site.
And actually, I could have used that site this weekend. I was in Atlanta, and I was looking for a card shop while I was up there. And it took me forever just searching the internet, looking for places, and finally found something. So now your site is bookmarked on my iPad.
Sweet.
There you go.
Thanks
awesome,
a lot, Nick.
Man.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, Nick's
right,
a good guy. So thanks again for listening. We appreciate all your support, man.
Oh, I told you, I just got back into the hype, man. Y'all make it easy. So appreciate it, guys.
Nice, man. Well, you take care, and we'll probably see you on one of the feeds soon.
You will.
Take care, buddy. All right, another winner. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Well,
yeah,
Tom, I'd like to thank you.
Does it right.
Yeah, thank you, man. Well, we appreciate you coming on the show, and we'll do some more things. We met Tom at the summit down at the Alligator Bar. We had a few, you know, just really cool dude all about the hobby, so wanted to get him on the show, and we made it happen. So one of the summit connections turned into a live radio show experience. So,
well, cool. I really appreciate it. You guys are awesome, and keep on grinding it out, man. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate
Definitely.
It.
Definitely. We'll be talking
See
again
you.
Soon.
Cool. Thanks, man.
No problem. All right. Well, that was cool, man. Yeah, cardshopfinder.com, and you can get the Android app. Dan's, I think, already downloaded it, so he's got it on his phone already. So
I got it. It's cool. I love the fact that Stevens Creek is on there, man. I love that place. I know it's near and dear to your heart as well, but that's a killer local card shop. If anybody's in the area, definitely check it out.
Yeah, it's a good little store, and the guys know their stuff. I mean, that's actually one of the places that got. I mean, no, we're being homers again here, but that was one of the places that got me back into this hobby because the guy would tell me, you know, what to buy. You know, this rookie's hot in this set, and blah blah blah. And that was before I was a big prospect guy, so I was like. You know, this is awesome. So the guys that work there are very passionate. And I hope most local card stores are, and they're just not sitting there, you know, bored. And, you know, they've been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah, and they know what they're talking about. And, I mean, I remember going there when I was a kid. I used to go there when I was, like, 5-6 years old and hang out in there and used to buy packs and stuff like that. And, yeah, I'm glad they're still there. And, I mean – they're in a pretty thriving part of San Jose with the big mall right there. So it's good to see that they've been able to survive and the longevity that they've had over
Definitely.
The years. So I know they have a couple chains. It's a chain. I know they have a couple more. They have a couple stores. They have one in Sunnyvale, and I think they have one in where's the other one?
It's in like San Mateo area, I believe, in
yeah.
Northern California. But
yeah,
it's a sweet place, but. Did you hear about Jigga Jay-Z is now a MLB agent? Did you see this on ESPN?
Yeah. Who signed with them? Was it Cano?
Cano signed with them, and apparently he is actually going to try to be a agent for other sports. So I just reading according to MLB Trade Rumors, which is a great site, especially during trade season. He signed. So he left Boris. I mean, he left Boris for Jigga Jay-Z, and I guess to become a certified MLBPA prospect agent, it looks like there's like you have to send some kind of certification and then a $500 application fee. So it doesn't sound like it's too hard. And obviously with the name that he carries along with himself, you know, he could bring in some people based on name.
That sounds like your next gig right there, dude. I think you're going to be you should be an agent. Go to the San Jose Giants and go, hey, man, anybody looking for an agent?
If it only takes $500, maybe I'll just undercut all these agents, man. I'll, you know what? I'm going to start even lower. I'm going to start going to T-ball games. I'm going to start scouting talent, like, early.
Dude, you're going to sign yourself. And then you're going to sign yourself and you're going to pitch yourself. So you're going to be like, hey, you know, I'm a lefty. I could pitch a little bit.
I'll be the 30-year-old rookie out there. But no, I think what I can do.
You'll be like Dennis Quaid in the movie The Rookie.
Exactly. Now you're thinking on my level. But what I'm thinking is, now this is my master plan, right? So I'm going to sign him at T-ball age, right? T-ball, I'm going to go through the minor, little league system, start signing up all these kids, and then I'm going to start inking card deals with Tops. And we're going to have like a 9 and 10-year-old set. Like, it's going to be like mind-blowing to people out there. Like, 9 and 10-year-old. Imagine collecting Bryce Harper when he was 8.
First on card auto.
First on card auto.
First one.
It's going to be Doug Collectibles or whatever I name my my company.
The bigger companies will do, they'll like buy them back and repackage them.
Yeah.
Maybe get them graded, slabbed, all that good stuff.
And I'm going to have crayon autos. They're going to be all in crayon. So it's going to add more value. It's going to be such a unique product. It's going to be mind blowing to people out there. I might be able to start buying out Leaf and Topps, Panini with all the money I'm going to make on these 8 and 10-year-old autos. Dang.
Swooping them up early, man.
Gotta get
Swooping
them started
them up.
Early. And then, you know, with the money I start making, then I can start hiring private trainers for these 8 and 10-year-old kids. Get them, you know, start getting the roids. You know, just building them up.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking about the logistics of it, and I'm like, I think people are going to frown upon it when you're like, hey kid, I need your jersey. I need to make relics. And people are going to be like, why are you trying to steal my kid's jersey? What's going on? It's going to be a little funky, man. And how are you going to do bat relics with like aluminum bats? What are you going to do?
I think it's going to be called the Megan's Law insert set. I mean, I don't know, you know, I might. Maybe not a great idea. That's what
you're gonna be kind of the old creepy dude hanging out at Little League games. I don't know if I could jump on board with that.
Yeah, maybe it was, yeah. You know, thinking about it a little further. But yeah, I don't think I'm allowed to. Kelper says I don't think I'm allowed to sell photos of 9-year-olds. And then John Day says that Chris Hansen's gonna show up here any minute. So. from Jay-Z to 8 and 10-year-old baseball photos. That's where we go with this show sometimes.
That's a little much. So I take it you heard Carson Palmer, the new quarterback for the Arizona Fighting Cardinals.
Oh man, Larry Fitzgerald's fantasy value just skyrocketed.
I don't know about that, but what do you think? That's your division right there. I mean, you're going to be going against Carson Palmer a couple times a year.
Yeah, it's fine. He doesn't really move much, and he throws a lot of interceptions. But I think he's better than anybody that they have. I think Kevin Cobb's obviously gone. And, I mean, the Niners.
Well, I think they released Skelton.
Yep.
And they signed Bobby Hoyer.
Yep. Yep, which did Bobby Hoyer, did he play? He played for somebody last year, right?
I want to say he was a backup for like San Diego or no? That's what's his name, Charlie Whitehurst or whatever.
Yeah, that's
he was the backup. Pro mustache, pro attitude.
Pro mustache. I need to grow a mustache like that. And a neck beard. I need to get a neck beard. But the Niners actually made the best signing the other day. I mean, they traded nothing for Colt McCoy. So I think we just locked up our backup situation. So
I can't believe they gave up on Colt McCoy for like, what, a it wasn't a sixth round pick. It was like a second round pick, wasn't it?
No, we traded him a fifth and seventh round pick, and we got Colt McCoy in a sixth round pick.
Oh, wow, yeah, so dude, Trent Baalke is a, that guy's a beast. I hate to give the Niners compliments, but dude, their GM is just robbing people blind.
He is. I mean, he got Bolden for a sixth rounder. I mean, plus we had like 14 picks, so we just moved some stuff around. But I mean, I hope Colt McCoy doesn't take the field next year. But I mean, if he does, obviously, I think he's a little bit more capable than Alex. So, and yes, Jayhawk, Colt McCoy is one of the best quarterback names out there.
Yeah, that is Texas right there. I think he's from Texas.
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, there's a lot of college collectors that, you know, his stuff is sought after. A lot of people are disappointed that he did trade, because a lot of people built the Browns PC of him. So I've seen some rumblings on forums that, I built this Colt McCoy PC for 2 years and now he's gone. But, you know, it is what it is. I don't know if Brandon Whedon is the answer. I mean, apparently.
Well, I mean, we were talking about it last year. I was like, I don't know if Brandon Whedon is much of an upgrade to Colt McCoy.
No.
I really don't. I really don't. And Colt McCoy, I really don't feel that guy ever got a chance. And now now with a running game, and you know, they have that kid Josh Gibson. They still need another big time.
It's Josh Gordon, I think, right?
Josh Gordon, yeah. It's not Josh Gibson. There's a Josh Gordon.
That's a Rams guy, I think, or something, right? Something
Brandon Gibson is the former Rams receiver.
Well, yeah, Rams have just a revolving door of receivers. But what's up with the Browns are kind of – that's weird. I mean, they did the same thing with – God, what's the guy from Notre Dame? Who's that quarterback? They drafted Brady Quinn. They gave up on him, like, without even giving him a shot either. They're just like – oh man, you play two games and you throw two interceptions, you're out of here. You know, it's like they don't give you too much of a leash over in Cleveland.
Well, I mean, we'll see. I mean, they may take a quarterback in the first or second round.
It's true.
I mean, Brandon Whedon, he's like 28 or 29, isn't he?
Yeah, he was 28 when he got drafted. So yeah, he's probably 28. Jared, my math serves me correct.
I mean, maybe I thought the Raiders were going to go at Geno Smith, but since they got Matt Flynn, I don't think the Raiders are going to go for a quarterback.
Oh, Josh Gibson, Josh Gibson is the Negro League Babe Ruth. That's where he got the name from.
Yeah,
I mean, yes, he was Josh. I remember that. I think there was like some story about Josh Gibson out there, but and Jayhawk says the best quarterback name was Chuck Long. What do you do? I Chuck Long.
I like Cody Pickett. Cody Pickett was a good quarterback name.
Or Ryan Longwell for kickers, right? Ryan Longwell.
Longwell's a good one.
There's a reliever coming out of he might even be up in the major league, Brandon Workman. So he's like, you want your reliever to put in some work, you know, eat up some innings, so Workman. So, you know.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But
good offensive. I think it's offensive line. But DeBrickashaw Ferguson. That's a good football name right there. That's a good football, you know, in the trenches name right there. DeBrickashaw Ferguson. I dig.
He was drafted by. Is he still in the Jets?
I think he's still in the Jets, and he's like, he was a first rounder. He's solid.
He's solid as a DeBrick.
No, I mean, the offensive line guys don't get any love.
They don't, man. There's no hobby love for offensive or defensive linemen. Maybe next year, 30 first-round picks are going to be 30 offensive linemen.
There's a lot more hobby love for defensive, defensive linemen over offensive linemen.
That's true, yeah.
I don't know, with all the hobby love for kickers now, that's insane.
Well, I think like, they don't put them in a whole lot of products, so they pick about three pickers. They put about three kickers a year, and they're just like the three best rookies, and they start getting collectability. So they didn't really flood the market with kickers before.
Well, they had Greg Aleg, and they had Walsh, and they had Tucker.
Yep.
I think that was pretty much it. I don't think there's anybody else.
No David Akers card last year. Disappointing.
No Joe Nedney cards.
I know, man. I would love to collect a Joe Nedney rookie autograph. But I wanted to give some props to Nick, who it's one of our biggest pulls yet. You know, I wanted to talk about it earlier, but it's on the docket. We pulled, actually Dan pulled, the HRX RG3 gold-plated 101 auto from Totally Certified. So, and that went to Kelp. We didn't know that it was gold-plated until we got home and we did some research. But that's a monster pull. So I wanted to congratulate Nick and tell Dan good pull. That was awesome.
I would love to pull them all the time, but I mean that was definitely the pull of my life so far. So I can't wait to see it. I'd love to get a little picture of it on the old Twitter.
Yep.
But yeah, that's a killer card, man. And you said it's signed on the back, right?
Well, the basketball ones are. They're signed on the back, and the athlete puts 101 on it as well. So, but that's the basketball ones. I haven't seen any live football ones yet. So I don't know if it's the same format. But basically, the whole front of the card is just gold with the video, and then there's a little white space on the back that they sign on. So if they do it the same format as they did with basketball, that's what it'll be.
That's gonna be insane.
Yeah, I mean the Kyrie's up at 19,000 or best offer right now, so I can only assume that this one could be valued anywhere between 8,000 and 15,000 somewhere. I mean, it depends on that. That goes back to that same thing that we were talking about earlier. It's what somebody's willing to pay for it.
Yeah, I think I want to say the Kyrie. I think it did sell. I think it sold for 7,000 or 9,000, something like that.
Wow, that's insane.
So I mean, you got to figure. I would say RG3 has a little more collectability than Kyrie.
Right.
With Topps and Panini both making football products, there's a lot more RG3 stuff out there.
Yeah.
More so than Kyrie, because Kyrie is essentially only Panini stuff.
Right.
You got the
Asian market on basketball that might bid it up a little bit more too. So I'm not sure. But
yeah, what's the most popular sport in the planet? Well, not in the planet, but in the U.S. it's football.
Right. Yeah.
I would say the most popular sport in the planet would probably be soccer. Like actual soccer with your foot, like with the soccer ball.
Football.
Not football.
Yeah, according to Jayhawk, the Kyrie originally sold for $5,000 to a flipper, and now the guy's got it on eBay for like $15,000. So he's basically just going to sit there and try to, you know, take offers until he makes, you know, a couple thousand.
Wow.
I'm sure.
Nice.
So I think that pretty much sums up our show. I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, stuff we got going on. We got we're doing some Gypsy Queen tomorrow, which I think there was one team left for
that's
Gypsy
sold.
Queen. I think it was like it's sold. Okay, so there's no teams left for the cage.
Sold out.
But we are doing a random with three boxes of Gypsy Queen and a case of 2007 Upper Deck Ultimate, and it's like 60 hits. So it's like $44 a spot, 66 hits, pretty good value, or 60 hits. We're also doing a case of Totally Certified tomorrow, football. Maybe we can get the Luck gold-plated 101. And then Thursday we got Panini playbook break, some select. Friday we got some playbook, some select, some mixers and stuff. So if you guys go on the site, you never bought before, you want to save 10% on any of the non-random breaks, use discount code MOJOBREAK. And thank you guys, everybody, for listening. Dan, you have anything to say to the fine folks out there?
That's it, man. I'm stoked to check out some Gypsy Queen tomorrow, and yeah, I can't wait for Select and Playbook. Playbook was one of my favorite products last year, so we'll see how it turns out this year.
Yeah, it looks like all early signs point to it being a hit, so hopefully it lives up to it. National Treasures is right around the corner, so it's not going to have a whole long spotlight to shine, but maybe it becomes a better value than National Treasures when National Treasures could look like $600 or $700 a box, so we shall see. But we'll give you a review on it. We'll give you a review on Playbook and Select and Gypsy Queen next week. That'll be on next week's show. We're live every Tuesday at 4 p.m. here. You can also listen to it on the archives, and we also upload it to the Mojo Break podcast on iTunes. So that's one way to follow us and follow Ryan at Sports Card News. You can follow us at @mojabreak_com, and you can follow the show at Card Radio Live on Twitter. So thank you guys for listening. We're out until next Tuesday at 4, and we'll talk to you later.
Word up.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Sports Card Live, sponsored by SportsCardRadio.com, MojoBreak.com. Check us out every Tuesday live at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, or download us on iTunes.